The Glass Show can be heard on Podomatic and iTunes. On Podomatic, the address is chrismcgovernmusic.podomatic.com. On iTunes, go to the iTunes store, type in The Glass Show with just S-H-O rather instead of S-H-O-W. Under The Glass Show, basically, it's probably going to be the second thing you see under podcasts, right? Where it says podcasts, you got to scroll down a little bit and you'll see my picture and then click on it. And it brings you to the Glass Show page, and there you can hear and download any episode you like, and subscribe, and this way you'll hear the new episodes. On Twitter, my handle on Twitter, or my ID, or my whatever, my profile is CMC The Glass Show. I changed it again, so now it's The Glass Show with CMC there. So CMC The Glass Show. And please like The Glass and The Glass Show on Facebook. There are fan pages there. And the original website that started it all is The Glass Blog, and the address for that is theglassblogismine.com. And thank you all so much for being a fan. I appreciate it. Show. I'm Chris McGovern, and that's Michaela Davis, and a song called I'm Just Trying to Be Your Friend. Excellent song, you know, excellently recorded, and it's just the perfect, like, indie pop song. And I think if, I don't know, I mean, do many people really pay attention to what makes a song great, and like, in terms of its recording and its writing and everything? That definitely is a great example. I think it's great. I think it's really, for more than anything other than the hook, which is, you know, the ooh, oh, ooh, oh, you know, I was dying to do that. I had to at some point. What makes that song cooler than anything else is her use of the harp as a pop instrument. You know, it's like, it's as simple as like the strums on a guitar. It's perfect the way it sounds on that. I mean, seriously, I don't know. Am I crazy? Am I the only one that hears that? But anyway, she's coming up in a few seconds, and she's great, and there's going to be plenty more songs, too. She's from Rochester. I think that has a lot to do with the talent, you know, because apparently, you know, Rochester must be something in the water. I don't know. Julian Nunes and Lauren O'Connell also both come from Rochester. So there you go. I guess that's really what the story is. She's great, and so is her group that she tours with and records with. And of course, you know, singer-songwriters that play the harp, there's not that many, but there's a few, as you know. Of course, Joanna Newsom, I guess, be the first person that a large part of the audience of this particular podcast probably thinks of first. She's come up a few times in other conversations on this show, as you know. I mean, it just literally happened in the last one with Ark Iris. And I mean, Joanna Newsom, I don't know. The first time I heard her, there was nothing that sounded like that. I can't think of anything. I mean, she just had this very, very odd sounding voice, but it was perfect for what she was doing. It was just almost like, you know, geez, I don't know, something rather artistic and theatrical about what she did. But I don't know, Michaela Davis really, you know, she says she's nothing like that, but she does appreciate, you know, Joanna Newsom. So it makes sense, you know, and it makes sense that she sees that. And I don't think anybody would really need to expect her to be anything more than what she is right now. I think where she is a great place. And I think it's fabulous, to say the least. Anyway, here's our conversation with Michaela Davis on The Glass Show.
This is Michaela.
Hey.
Hello?
Hi, Michaela. You can hear me, right?
Hi. Yes, I can hear you now.
Oh, great. Wonderful. So wonderful to talk to you, finally. I interviewed you before, but we did an email interview for the blog. So.
Yeah, I remember we couldn't make it over telephone for some reason.
Well, actually, at that particular time, it wasn't really an option for me because I didn't have like a proper way of recording it so that I could use it to transcribe. Okay. So now I have everything I need. I mean, as long as I can record this on Skype, it's still really good, you mm-hmm. know, because I play it back and I can hear every word.
Yeah.
Plus, I have a podcast now, so I don't have to even like write these words down or anything. You know, you can just post it. And all I usually do is just edit everything. So anyway, great to talk to you. And in case I haven't said this before, I really enjoy your music.
Thank you.
Yeah, I really do. I think it's very beautifully written. It's very beautifully played. You know, I really should have gone back to my notes from the first interview so that I don't end up like repeating myself here, but I guess for the sake,
that's okay.
Well, you know, for the sake of the fact that this is a brand new interview and it's on the podcast, you know, it's probably not the worst thing for us to, you know, repeat a few things, except, you know, so basically, like, where did you got classically trained, of course, and you're basically still studying music on the harp.
Yeah, I actually just graduated.
Oh, you did graduate. Fabulous.
Yep.
And, but I mean, like, you still play compositional music, though.
Like classical music? Yeah, I mean, I'll still practice classical mm-hmm. music when I have time to. But, yeah, I just gave my senior recital, and I graduated. So it hasn't really hit me yet. I think it will in the fall when I don't go back to school.
Why did you think that like you were going to like sort of automatically just go to school and think that you were still going to have classes and like, oh, wait a minute.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I've been going to school every year since, you know, preschool. Mm-hmm. I didn't take a break after high school. So every fall has been back to school for as long as I can remember. And now that it's not that, it's weird, but it's a good thing. Mm-hmm. I'm happy.
But I mean, essentially, like it looks to me like what you're doing is you're expanding your process because, or at least you're expanding your musical. Mm-hmm. You know, you're I don't know how to say it. I mean, it basically you're expanding your possibilities because there's. The stuff that you do on albums, like the first album and the EP, even though that's technically an EP, and There's a great new single that I like too. And you also do arrangements for harp ensemble.
Yeah, that was part of like a presidential scholars program I got into.
Oh, okay.
So it was, I mean, I could do anything I want. It's kind of like independent study. And I had already been arranging some pop songs for my harp ensemble just because I thought it was fun. And, you know, since I wrote music, I wanted to try to arrange music too. And so my professor was like, you should do more of this. And so in order to get it published, I could get into this program and they would help me along the way. So now I have four songs recorded with the harp ensemble. I have the Chicago by Susie Anthony.
Yes.
Yeah, and then I have in Tunisia, which is a jazz standard. And I also did Regina Spektor Fidelity.
Fabulous.
Yeah, and then I was, and then I did If I Fell by the Beatles.
That's a great song.
Yeah, so I have all of those are recorded and on this Crane Harp Ensemble CD. But, you know, we have to get permission for every song, and it took a long time, but finally, you know, we got permission for the four songs to be on the CD.
Mm-hmm.
But I only got permission for the Sufjan one to be published.
Oh, okay.
So I have all the arrangements, but I just have to get the permission first.
Oh, fabulous. Okay. Well, hopefully that happens so that, you know, at some time in the next 10 years we get to hear it, you know.
I don't know how much of this we're actually allowed to use, but I'll put it on anyway and fade it out just for a few seconds. It's Michaela doing If I Fell, and it's taken from YouTube. It's a live version.
Yeah, I know, because I'm not allowed to, you know, put it up for sale online or anything right now.
Yeah, the music business is harsh.
Yeah, that's why I prefer writing my own songs.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, your own songs are fabulous because, I mean, obviously you're inspired by these people. It's very clear. Very clear just listening to it. I mean, and you just throw in the right little things that make it a record. I'm very curious about something. Where's the song? I'm looking for it now. Just give me one second.
Yes, I am.
The song on your EP, I Wouldn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the first one.
I just want to know, you like David Bowie, right?
Yes, I do.
Because I can hear Life on Mars is quoted in there.
Really?
Yeah.
Cool.
The very end of the song.
I've never even thought of that. Maybe that was like in the back of my mind. Oh, at the very, very end.
Yeah. I was listening to it today, and and I was like, "Oh my God, that's Life on Mars." She realized that she threw that in there.
I didn't realize that.
Again, I honestly don't know how much we're allowed to use here. You know, I just want to make an example. But it's David Bowie's Life on Mars, the part that we're talking about, not the whole song. And then we're going to put I Wouldn't in its entirety on after that, after just a little bit more of the interview.
Well, I love that song, so, you know.
Me too. I found all my mom's old records in the attic a couple of years ago, right after I got a record player, and she loved David Bowie and the Talking Heads, so I got really into David Bowie and the Talking Heads.
I want
That's I Wouldn't by Michaela Davis from the Fortune Teller EP. And basically, yeah, that's Life on Mars at the end. And yeah, okay, maybe slightly different. They probably did put their own little spin on it, but, you know, I knew. I just knew when I heard it.
Have you ever thought about doing an album of covers? Like, just a regular album of your own with, like, just covering songs? Or do you think it's going to be difficult because you got to wait for these, you know, the clearance for these arrangements that you did, that doing an album of covers is going to be the same problem?
I don't know that I would do a full album of covers, but I've definitely thought about putting a cover on an album.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe. Maybe that'll happen in the future.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm not sure.
I mean, because, I mean, obviously anybody could go to YouTube and see that you've covered Sufjan's music. And didn't you also cover the Kinks?
Yep. Yeah, I did. Mm-hmm. We did David Watts. So it's fun.
Oh yeah, David Watts. And like, what is talk about your band, because they're fabulous too. I mean, are these people that you knew beforehand and you just hung out and said, you know, something, you know, we should just make a band, and you know, they sound perfect on your music.
Yeah, they're the best. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been friends with Alex Cote, my drummer, since elementary school. Mm-hmm. We live, like, kind of down the street from each other. And, excuse me. And when I started writing songs, it started out just being on harp. And then I would show my songs to him. Mm-hmm. And he was like, oh, you should add, like, bells on this song. So he started playing bells with me, just like kind of like a little glockenspiel. So it started off being just me on stage playing and singing, and Alex just standing next to me playing bells. And then slowly we added a drum set and then guitar. And then we started out with a different guitar player, and then we switched out for a new one. That's Kian.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Kian McCarthy. I met him at our first band practice together, because he went to college with Alex,
mm-hmm.
and when we needed a new guitar player, Alex was like, I know just the guy. So we actually became friends, like, as he was in my band. I didn't even know him.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we're all good buddies.
Mm-hmm.
We don't see each other on tour, usually, maybe in the morning before we have coffee.
I know, you have to have your morning coffee, you know? I mean, I'm like the one of the first people that tells you that.
We go.
That's Out There Alone, Michaela's most recent single.
So, but, you know, fabulous stuff. And, I mean, you know, how often is it possible for you guys to put a tour together?
Well, I mean, since we were in college, it was only possible during breaks and really only realistically in the summer and then this past winter break, which wasn't very ideal. I don't think I want to do another tour in January again on the East Coast. Mm. Because of all the
snow. The last one was a killer, I know. That was when I moved to Arizona.
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons.
Yep. Oh, I love Arizona. Yeah.
Well, come to Arizona, please. You know, I mean, that would be great.
Yeah. We played there last summer, mm-hmm. like near Phoenix in Scottsdale. Mm-hmm. And right now we don't have any West Coast dates, but I keep pushing to do that because I love the West Coast. My dad lives out there, mm-hmm. so
well,
I really want to play out there.
Sedona is a great place, too.
Where?
Sedona, that's where I am, so that's why
Sedona?
I'm suggesting
okay.
it.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah, I've never been there.
Yeah, no, it's really nice. We're near the mountains, and there's all kinds of really cool, like, exotic animals running around and stuff, so I think
cool.
you'd like it a lot. All right, so basically you have an album, you have an EP, you have a single. Do you have any, like, mm-hmm. particular ideas for what you want to do for, like, the next record?
Yeah, I think we're going to record a full length, hopefully in the fall, winter-ish time,
mm-hmm.
and then put it out sometime next year. So the reason why I haven't had a second full length is really just because I didn't have time with school, and like the EP, I really wanted to put something out, so doing an EP was better than nothing. We all recorded that our fall semester of our senior year
mm-hmm.
in college, and I would be home probably every other weekend doing something in the studio, and we've recorded everything at Red Booth Recordings with our good friend Brian Moore. He does a great job. So
yeah, and he worked on both of those. He worked on the first album and the EP, or just the EP?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
No, everything I've released has been recorded, mixed, and mastered by Brian.
Okay. Has anybody ever like told you, because you know the harp, as beautiful as it is, would it be wonderful if you were going to say record a duet with another harpist? Particularly another harpist that sings, like, say, Joanna Newsom or someone like that?
No,
not
no
that there's
ever
anybody like her,
that,
really.
Asking.
I mean, she's very particular.
Yeah. Yeah, and she's very, yeah. And I love Joanna Newsom. I think her songs are incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Her poetry is really great. But then, like, me and her, our music is very different.
Yeah.
So, you know, when someone is like, oh, you're like Joanna Newsom, it's only because I play harp, mm-hmm. You know. My songs are pretty poppy, mm-hmm. and, like, I have some songs that are more mysterious, I guess, but her stuff is very, very out there and
mm-hmm.
beautiful.
Oh, I got to tell you, though, I can relate to that, because I used to play the piano, and people used to say, do you know any Billy Joel songs? So, you know,
okay.
it happens to, I think, everybody that plays an instrument.
Yeah.
It's very tempting, though, the idea, like, if there was ever going to be this opportunity. I mean, for some reason, that just popped in my head. Wouldn't it be fabulous to have two harpists and that sing, do, you know, a song together? Yeah, but that's
yeah,
just something to put in the back of your mind for the future, you know.
mm-hmm.
If I ever talk to Joanna, I'll tell her, too.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm working on trying to get her as well.
Extremely lazy.
That's Dreaming from Michaela's first album, simply titled Michaela Davis. I think that's as close to Joanna Newsom as you're probably going to hear coming from her. It seems like it could very well be in that vein, I think, at least artistically. I did ask Michaela about recording classical music for the harp because you can't really find them now, but there have been clips of Michaela playing Andre Caplet music. particularly the French piece, you know, it was so nice, and it could have gone up against any classical like player that I can think of. But she explains here why that hasn't happened yet.
Do you ever think about putting out an album of classical music too? Because I mean, you do wonderful. You have done some wonderful appearances playing classical. I've seen the clips.
Mm-hmm. Not particularly, really. Doing a classical album would actually be a lot of work because, you have to prepare, mm-hmm. like for a classical piece, you have to prepare for like a year for a whole recital. I mean, I guess I could record one piece at a time and just pick out my favorite pieces that I've played, mm-hmm. but, you know, that... The thing about recording classical music, I think, you kind of have to get it right.
Yeah.
And you have to make sure, like, the tempos are correct and the notes are right. And, you know, it's a lot of work. And there's a lot more leeway with your own music, obviously, because you can do whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, playing pop music is so much easier than playing, you know, classical on the harp. But I don't know. I guess I've thought about it before, but I'm not really sure. It's not on the top of my mind right now, mm-hmm. I guess. Maybe sometime in the future.
Because I can tell you right now, I would look forward to that very much. There just isn't. It's another one of those things, too, where... You know, I love the piano. I love the violin. When it comes to classical, those are like the first things that come to my mind, and I don't necessarily think of the harp right away. But there's some great music for harp. That another lady that you might know at least from online, Bridget Kibbe. You know, she's a fabulous harpist too, and she's also I think she also composes, but she mostly commissions music from other composers, other living composers, and she's another person that I've interviewed too, and maybe somebody else to collaborate with at some point, I'm giving you too much work. I'm sorry. I'm just like, I'm blown away by your talent. So I think about the possibilities all the time.
Do you know?
When the White Horse Takes Me Away, from Fortune Teller EP by Michaela Davis. Basically, if you go to her website, michaeladavis.com, by the way, Michaela is spelled M-I-K, you'll probably see it on the page anyway, you know, because I'm going to post it on there. But M-I-K-A-E-L-A Davis.com. And that's her website. And that has the tour dates on it. If you go to tour dates or tour, you know, there's like a whole bunch of shows coming up. So she's going to be, her and her band are very active this year, of course. MichaelaDavis.bandcamp.com is where you're going to find all of her music streaming. Or you can download it, buy it, play it anywhere, you know. And SoundCloud, which I think most artists are on SoundCloud, but a lot of times they'll put things on there that are already readily available. She's got some very exclusive things on her SoundCloud page, and I would definitely check it out, because a lot of the things that she was talking about are on there, including Chicago, the Suf John Stevens song arranged for harp ensemble. As well, I think If I Fell in its entirety is on there too. And she does several Suf John Stevens songs as covers, and she does a really wonderful and beautiful tune by Elliot Smith called Twilight. That's another lovely rendering, and I wanted to use it for the end of this podcast, and I feel like I would be really like making things rather complicated and in an unnecessary way for Michaela, and I'd rather not do that to her. And but I can tell you where to find it. It's on that page. It's on her SoundCloud page, soundcloud.com/MichaelaDavisMusic. So just go to that page and you'll hear even more exclusive things from her. She really is very, very, very wonderful and endearing, and I wish the best for her. So anyway, thanks to Michaela Davis, and Godspeed. Anyway, that's The Glass Show. I'm Chris McGovern. Take care. This is Chris McGovern, and you're listening to The Glass Show. The Glass Show can be heard on Podomatic and iTunes. On Podomatic, the address is chrismcgovernmusic.podomatic.com. On iTunes, go to the iTunes store, type in The Glass Show with just S-H-O rather instead of S-H-O-W. Under The Glass Show, basically, it's probably going to be the second thing you see under podcasts, right, where it says podcasts. You got to scroll down a little bit, and you'll see my picture, and then click on it, and it brings you to the Glass Show page, and there you can hear and download any episode you like, and subscribe, and this way you'll hear the new episodes. On Twitter, my handle on Twitter, or my ID, or my whatever, my profile is CMC The Glass Show. I changed it again, so now it's The Glass Show with CMC there. So CMC, The Glass Show. And please like The Glass and The Glass Show on Facebook. There are fan pages there. And the original website that started it all is The Glass Blog, and the address for that is theglassblogismine.com. And thank you all so much for being a fan. I appreciate it.